Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Yeah, we are very wired for sound today. Well, it is great to be with you this Christmas morning. We have come through an Advent season. You know, Advent has really completed because today we celebrate He's here. He's here. He's come. It's not what we're looking forward to in this Christmastide. He's here. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So just to remind us a little bit, to set the stage for today just a little bit, we've walked through the past four Sundays of Advent, and we've talked about a few different things, a few different presents, in a sense, that Christ brings to us. First, we talked about hope. We talked about hope because God keeps His promises. We have hope. Because He's a God who's faithful, we have hope. Next, we talked about love and how love is sacrifice. It's not just sacrificial. Love is sacrifice. We see that in the person of Jesus Christ and what He's done. We saw that we get peace with God because of Jesus Christ, because of what He's done, because He's made the way. He said, "I am the way." And then last week, we talked about joy. We talked about how grace unlocks joy. The receiving and giving of grace is how we find real joy. Not in eggnog, although eggnog is pretty good. Come to my house, it's pretty good. But real joy doesn't come from all the trappings. We know that. If we depend on the trappings of Christ Mass for joy, we will come up empty. Real joy comes from the grace that God gives to us and the joy that we gain as we pass that grace along. So today we're going to talk about Christmas presents. Christmas presents. Will you pray with me? Let's seek the Lord together, even as we already have been. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank You. We thank You that there's no one like You, and that You, being true God, very God, we praise You. That You sent Your Son, that You, the Son, the Spirit, are working redemption in us, sinners, but not left to ourselves. Thank You. Lord, we pray that You would work in us. Lord, we pray that You would call us to Yourself today, that we would be responsive to You today. Lord, if there's anything in me or my heart here and now, Lord, in anyone who's listening here and now, Lord, that would get in the way, that would stop up the ears of our heart. Lord, please take it away. Help us to lay it down. Lord, we thank You again. Even as John said earlier, Lord, we agree. We say amen. You are the best present that we could ever receive. You Yourself, not Your trappings, not the blessings that You bring, but You Yourself. Lord, where we struggle to trust that that's true, Lord, increase our faith today. Lord, thank You for loving us. Help us to love You. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Christmas presents, I read some interesting articles online about some of the worst Christmas presents ever given. You may have received a pretty bad Christmas present. Maybe you've been a perpetrator. Maybe you've given a suspect Christmas present. I'll read just a few of the ones that I found in this worst of Christmas presents list. A lady named Audrey from Norfolk, Virginia, said that she received the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, and she was in high school and not even dating. That's a little awkward. That's just a little awkward. Just a little awkward. A gal named Marcy down in North Richland Hills, Texas, said that she received a donation in her name to a cause that she did not support. Somebody wasn't paying attention. A gal named Carol in Oklahoma said she got her own Christmas gift back from the previous year. Regifting is acceptable, but I think that may have pushed the limits just a little bit. A gal named Rosemary in Kentucky said that she received a subscription to the Nutrisystem weight loss program. Merry Christmas! And this, I think this is my favorite. a lady named Nancy in Massachusetts said that she received an iron and an ironing board from her now ex-husband. Go figure. I am not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I think I could have told her about that one. And then last but not least, a gal named Maureen in California received a book of etiquette from her mother-in-law. Yeah, just, I think those people might have been wondering, where's the love? I don't think they were feeling the Christmassy love kind of spirit with each of those things. The, you know, the converse about Christmas presents is the beauty and the joy and the excellence of a gift well thought of and well given. That's pretty different. I remember back in the 70s when I was a kid, my dad, I have an older brother, and my dad had gotten, I think it was a pair of earrings for our mother, for his wife. And he had shown us, I mean, I was just a little kid, I'll say I was three, because the blame is not quite as bad. You'll see what I mean in a moment. But my dad, he had rigged up this present really neat. He took these, I think it was earrings, and he suspended them on rubber bands inside of a box. So when you shake the box, it would make this twangy sound and feeling, this little vibration. And he showed my brother and me what he was doing when he was doing it. So on Christmas morning, my mom gets this present. She shakes it, and she's like, wow. And I said, Dad, is that the earrings? Dad, if you're listening, sorry. We still laugh about it, kind of. I remember, and this is just a simple example, but I remember a few years ago, actually it'd been some years ago when we were still living in Texas, and I was tooling around the TV, and in Houston there are many religious channels, right, just on the regular, you know, just what you get through the airwaves or whatever, get lots of religious channels, and I did not frequent them, but I would tool across them sometimes, and across one as I was going, there was this Christmas concert, and this guy was singing, and let me tell you, he was singing this song. And I'd never heard the fella, didn't know who he was, never heard the song before, but I was so enthralled by this song. This song is called One Wintry Night by a guy named David Phelps. Some of you guys are probably familiar with him. He's one of the Gaither singer men, and but this song just reached in and grabbed a hold of me. It's just beautiful. And it became immediately one of my Christmas favorites, even to this day. Like, if you come by our house, you may find me, literally, you may find me in the kitchen drinking eggnog and belting this song out with David in the background as loud as I can. Well, here, just this one time, I'm just tooling across the channels, and I come to this, and I mentioned it to my wife. And she figured out who it was, what the song was, and gave me the album. It was a real simple, but you know what that showed? It showed thoughtfulness. It showed care. She took the time and the energy to do simple. But to this day, it was, I think, man, what a blessing. What a blessing. And that song is one of my absolute favorites. Hey, John, maybe we could sing it next year. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we could do that. I will not sing it. You may sing the solo, brother. I will sing right here solo. You can't hear me. So, but here, there's something really neat about a gift well given. A thoughtful gift. A gift that had the person receiving the gift in mind. I mean, that's, you know, we all can give and receive gifts that are, you know, for the sake of giving a gift. But there's something really neat about a Christmas present that's well thought of and well given. So I thought we'd talk today about Christmas presents. And as we've mentioned, let's look at the best Christmas present any of us could ever get. This is Matthew chapter 1. And of course, Matthew here is reminding us of what Isaiah had said. So that's when you see all those caps, all those capital letters there. That's a quote from the Old Testament. This is right out of Isaiah 7. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. In Hebrew, Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God with us. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. God with us. And that's the best Christmas present that we have gotten. But you know, sometimes that Christmas present feels, you know, a little afar off maybe. You know, John 3:16, you know, if you ever watch an NFL football game, you'll see John 3:16. Somebody's holding it up somewhere, which I think is great. We don't talk about John 3:17 so much. It should be a 17, not a 7. We don't talk about 17 so much, but let's just walk through these two verses together. Remember, this is Jesus in John chapter 3 here. He's been greeted at night, we're told, by a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. This was the passage that I was reading in a Bible study when I first realized that I was not a follower of Jesus. When I first realized that because I was born in America and go to church doesn't make me a Christian. It was right here in John chapter 3, just before this, that I first saw that, because Jesus told this fellow Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus comes to him by night, and I think he comes because he's fearful of being publicly associated with Jesus. And he says, "We know you're from God because we see the things you do." And whether that was meant as flattery or a conversation starter, I'm not really sure. But Jesus comes out of left field and he says, "You must be born again." And that was some of the best news I'd ever heard. But it was also, at that moment, it was some hard news, because whatever born again meant, I knew I was not that. Well, Nicodemus, this Pharisee, this leader of the Jews, this religious and even kind of political leader, he didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about either. And yet he was a teacher of the nation Israel, Jesus says. He says, "Well, you're a teacher of Israel, you don't understand." Well, later on in that same chapter, Jesus says this to Nicodemus. Of course, he's talking about himself, but Nicodemus is struggling to understand. Jesus said, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son," his one and only son, God's one-of-a-kind son, "he gave that whoever believes in him shall not perish," wouldn't be lost forever, "but have eternal life." Now, that's a fairly familiar verse. You know, there's a danger in familiarity sometimes, right? There can be a real danger in familiarity. We can become a little too familiar with the familiar, and it can lose its meaning. It can become kind of hackneyed or old to us. This next verse helps us a little bit more. "God loved the world so much he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world." And I got to tell you, there's still a part of me that struggles sometimes with thinking that God is a cop on a beat with a billy club, and he's looking to find me mess up so he can whack me over the head. Not often, but there's still that sometimes. There's still that thought or that fear. But John 3:17 says, God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world. Now, Jesus will judge, but that's not what he came. That's not why he came that first time. So what I've done for you in yellow here, right, we're told he did not send the son into the world to judge the world. But if we put the yellow together, which is the kind of the positive side of this whole sentence, God did send the son into the world that the world might be saved through him. That's why he came. He didn't come because he didn't have anything else to do that day. He didn't come because he had some great need. There was some lack, and he needed us to fill it up. He came to save us, that we might be saved. And notice, be saved, that's passive. That we would be saved. In other words, he's the one that does the work. We're the ones that receive the blessing of eternal life. We're the ones that never perish and have eternal life. That's what we get. What he gets is a people like us, who are the people who do what we just did earlier this morning and are doing right now, seeking to exalt this one, seeking to lift up this one, Jesus, by our song, by our stewardship, but ultimately it's really by our life, right? I mean, that's the point, is by our life. In Romans 12:1, he talks about worship. And worship is not what we do. It's not when he talks about worship, it's not what we do on Sunday morning. In the context, worship is how we live. It's how we live. And that's what Jesus came for. He came to buy you and me back so that there's a people who live for him, who are loved by him and love him. You know, really, we just take the love that he gives to us and we just turn it right back around. That's the whole idea of redeeming grace. So, if Jesus is the best Christmas present, and if what he really came to do was to save us, that we might be saved through him, how do we handle that? What do we do with that? Well, there's a simple little turn that we can do here. We can go from Christmas presents to Christmas presence. Jesus is the Christmas presence. You know, what I hope you do today, I'm going to tell you straight out, I'm just going to line it all out for you. What I really hope happens today is that each one of us takes away the idea of Christmas presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, and that when we think of presents, like bows and boxes and, how does the Grinch say it? Boxes and tags or whatever. I don't have it all memorized. But when we think of, how does it go? Doesn't come in bows and boxes and tags or whatever. But when we think of those things, and when you're, you know, tearing into something today or pulling it out of a gift bag or whatever it may be, that you would remember the reason that he came. He's here. He's here. He's here. That Christmas present that the Father gave to us and that Jesus gave us by coming, he's here. So here's the deal. He's here. But then we got to ask, so what? And that's a fair question. That's always a fair question. If the Bible can't stand up to our asking, so what? This is all sham. But it does stand up to it. It does. So the Christmas presence, Jesus' presence, that he's here, that he's invaded our lives. I hope he's invaded your life. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if Jesus is in you, if you're not sure that you are resting in him, just like when I first was reading John chapter 3 and came to realize that, hey, I don't even know what he's talking about, this born again thing, this saved, I make fun of people. What is that? If you're not sure, you can be sure today. You can have the Christmas presence in you today. And you know, for all of us who know Jesus, you know, we sang in one of our songs, That Christmas might come again. Not in some schmaltzy way. But when we honor Christ, when we bow our lives before him, not just by coming to church on a Sunday morning, but in small hidden ways that maybe no one else will see. In small hidden ways. Maybe I want to say a word, and before those words come out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit flames up in me and says, that's not kind, Mike. And so I submit myself to my King and I say, okay, I'm not going to say that. Or maybe I've got thoughts rolling around in my heart and my mind. And then in a moment, maybe the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God back to my remembrance. And maybe I say, oh, you know what? I'm not believing truth right now. And the Holy Spirit says, believe the truth. Cast out the lie. And so I submit myself and I say, Jesus, I want to enthrone you in my life by making this choice right here, right now. He's here. So what? He makes a difference. That's so what? If we let him. If we let him, he wants to make a difference. You know, I was in, I like to eat breakfast, and Bob Evans has the best French toast around. I'm telling you, it is good stuff. You'd think it'd be bigger. All this talk of eggnog and French toast. But I was in Bob Evans recently, and I'm still going to go to eat there. I actually thought about going to a manager about this. I decided not to. But they have a little thing on the table, and it said, pie is the reason for the season. No, it's not. Come on, Bob. Pie is not the reason for the season. Pie is good. But that God would be here and that he would seek you and me out, and that he would give us the opportunity to actually enthrone him on our hearts. That's the reason for the season. That's the point, that God would seek out sinners and save us. That's what he said. That's the whole point. He came not to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the point of the season, that a holy God would save sinners and welcome us into relationship. Not duty, relationship, a love relationship. That is crazy. That's the point. That's what Christmas is about. That's the reason for the season. Maybe I'll go up there and sneak a pen and I'll cross out pie and put Jesus on that little thing. I don't know. If I see one done like that, I'll know that we've had some FCCers up there at Bob Evans. He's here, so what? So what? Well, here's so what. I got a few ideas for you, really coming right out of what we talked about the past few weeks. Since Jesus is the Christmas presence, E-N-C-E, we have hope. Because he's here, we have hope. You know, through this past year, I took this past week off, and I got calls from people in need. I got a phone call from a friend back in Houston whose marriage is on the rocks, and he had no hope. Because Jesus has come, there really is hope. There's real hope. There's hope without. In other words, he can work reconciliation. He can change hearts. And there's hope within, that he can change me, that he can give me victory over besetting sins. He can give me victory over that old king self that always wants to knock Jesus off the throne. There's real hope. There's real hope for change. I'm not stuck. I'm not left to my own devices. That's good news. So because he's here, because Jesus is the Christmas presence, we have hope. We have love. We have love. Love that changes things. Love that moves people differently. Love that can bring a husband and wife together. Love that can reconcile the hearts of the sons to their fathers and the fathers to their sons, like the very last verse of the Old Testament says he would come to do. There's love. There's peace. There's peace with God and with man, like we talked about a few weeks ago, because he's real and he's here. And there's joy. There's joy. Even if you get, you know, one of the bad gifts I saw, this guy got a fish tie. And it was pretty rough. Well, there can be real joy, not based on a gift like a tie. There can be real joy, even when hard things are happening, even when there's frustration or loss or brokenness that we all experience, fear that tries to shut us down. It can be fear of anything, but there can be real joy because Jesus is the Christmas presence. I hope you take away whatever the Holy Spirit's got for you. But I hope you remember today. I hope you remember Christmas presence. And that because he's here, we do have hope. There's real hope for you and for me. Not just in this life, but eternity, right? That's our real hope. You know, not a hope like a wish on a star, but a hope that rests in the truth of Jesus. That's what we're after. That's where we want to rest. So Christmas presents, that's our goal. That's our goal for the day. You know, I think it's neat that it's his birthday, but he gives us his presence. Let's pray. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you that you're willing to come, that you're willing to come to earth and put on flesh, lay aside your royal robes, Well, Lord, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Even as Bert reminded me this morning again, Lord, you could come today for your second time. Lord, help us to live ready. Help us to live with our eyes on you, not being distracted or pulled away by lesser things, by petty things, by things that really don't matter. Lord, in the stuck places in our lives, maybe the places where we don't even realize we're stuck, Jesus, we pray that you would come in with your presence and bring your light and your truth and your mercy and your joy. Lord, that's what Christmas is about. Lord, as we go out in just a few minutes, would you remind us that you are here and that changes everything? Lord, that we're never stuck. No relationship is beyond hope. Lord, because you're here. Lord, thank you for invading the world of men and bringing real justice and real truth and real mercy and real grace. God, we need you. Thank you for giving yourself to us in your Son. We thank you for the sweetness of this day and what we remember. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
So we sing the last Christmas song of the season. And we picked my favorite. I got to do that. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I just want to bring to your attention that we're not just singing about the angels singing glory to the newborn king, but we are joining them singing glory to the newborn king because he is the Son of Righteousness, because he has risen with healing for you and me in his wings, because he was born that we no more may die, because he was born to raise us, because he was born to give us second birth. And so our hearts cry out, glory to the newborn king. Let's sing this together. It's number 133 if you'd like to follow in the hymnal. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll stand as we sing it.
Hark the Christ by high.
Amen. Well, this morning, as we leave, we do have some cupcakes for our children in order to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. Jane has made some cupcakes, so if you are 15 years or older, sorry, William Bethard, if you are 15 years or younger, you can go ahead and have cupcakes. There'll probably be some left and anybody can get them. But that is to celebrate the birthday of Jesus this morning. Thank you all for being with us. Let's just pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we do celebrate your birthday today. It is the birthday that has given us your presence. Emmanuel, God with us. And without your presence, Lord, we would surely die. But you have given us new life. You have given us second birth. You have given us a hope that is only found in you. This morning, if there's anyone here who does not have that hope, Lord, just work in their heart. Call them to yourself. And for those of us who do have that hope, let us not take it lightly, Lord. Remind us of the great gifts that you give, the gift of yourself, because you are all sufficient for us. We praise you and thank you, and we sing glory to the newborn King. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas.